Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Thanks to Corey Parson for stepping up and playing the part of Red Heat. On Friday, Corey Parson stepped up and in.
Oh, he's so good.
Cam Stewart is back from the grave.
Tongue lacerations.
Tongue lacerations. I don't really even feel comfortable asking another man how his tongue is doing. But I'll ask you, how's the tongue? How's the tongue doing, Cam?
Dr. Tongue? Yeah, it's pretty good, Gabe. I got to tell you, though. Waiting 4 hours in emergency. It's just like I saw the guys on your Twitter. It's an absolute disaster in hospitals. Imagine like you actually cut
your mouth. You're the right that side, the left side.
It's not the same.
Your left cheek sort of looks a little puffier. And
yeah, because it's my tongue's still got a nugget on the side, but at least it stopped bleeding, buddy. I guess doing the show on Thursday when it happened, it just
how long
talking made it just get bigger.
How long did it take to stop bleeding?
2 days, about close to 48 hours. That's a long time, don't you think?
Did you notice the piece of your tongue after in your
feces?
I was looking for a better
stool.
Yeah, stool.
Did you see anything pink in your stool?
I was gonna say yeah, in your in your waist.
In your waist? No, I couldn't find it. It's gone.
There wasn't like a piece of flesh like in the toilet or nothing like that.
It was embedded in something, but he gone. It's gone now.
So, for the record, me and Corey came up with a new nickname for you.
What?
Cannibal Cam.
Cannibal Cam.
You'll eat anything.
I will, even my own tongue.
Yeah.
Gabe, I'll tell you, though, man, like, it was pretty wild. Like, the emergency room's like a weird place, man. Like, nobody, there's a lot of people in there. And the worst is I'm in my curtain. There's a big family there, like eight people. There's also, like, radioactive boxes and syringes and stuff. Like, there shouldn't be that many people. Like, these
the cesspool of contamination.
It sure is, buddy. And I'll tell you something. There's way too many people there, and these doctors are stooges. Like, he told me nothing. He gave me Tylenol 3 and says, don't worry. The tongue will it clears itself. It'll be okay in a couple days. I'm like, thanks for the tip.
You go to a hospital, you leave there worse.
Yes. I was out $20 for parking.
My grandmother fell and broke her hip. She ended up dying of difficile C, some sort of weird blood germ that spreads through hospitals and stuff, right? Like,
you said it, man. It's true. I could have just stayed at home and dealt with it.
Going
to the hospital didn't help.
You go into a hospital, you don't want to touch anything.
I know. Great point. Lots of Purell.
And I tell you what. You're better off being like a Japanese tourist, putting the mask over your
another great
it
point.
Really is.
Oh, no. I saw some people walk in with those masks, and I was jealous. I'm like, I need one of these. It's a cesspool. Like, just germs and people hacking everywhere. It sucks. I never want to go back to a hospital. Never.
No.
It's not a fun place to hang out, man. It really sucks.
I don't want to die in a hospital either.
I agree with you. I'll do and like if I'm going to die, just let me go for the last couple days somewhere. Let me die in peace.
That's why you need money.
It's a great point.
It's a lesson. No, it really
it sure is.
You know, it really is. Like, you might think, well, you know, whatever. It is what it is when I get old. You know, I'll get Social Security and, you know, because God knows we don't have any pension or anything like that in this business.
That's true.
But the fact of the matter is, if you have money, then you can stay home and hire a hot chick to just come over and, you know, take care of you.
Yeah, give you a sponge bath.
Yeah, and you just die at home one night.
With a sponge bath in the tub. Sounds lovely.
You have no money. You're in a convalescent home with a bunch of other people pissing themselves.
Great point.
And then you die in a hallway with no dignity in a hospital. But the healthcare is free, though. Nice hair, though. He's just not ready.
I'll tell you something, Morenci, though. Like, I actually thought outside the box, and I remember the Simpsons episode where Homer ate the chili.
More, please.
With the chief, and he put the hot tongue wax on there, so no, the insanity pepper couldn't get
so
him.
So you tried
Well, wax? I didn't try hot wax.
So you did some bondage stuff with your girlfriend, you know, it's hot wax on the tongue? I don't know if that's good idea.
I did two things. I did. I thought about things that what's going to stop blood, so I thought about, like, it has to be thick, so paste. I didn't want to do crazy glue, because obviously that's a carcinogen, I'll die. So I did Vaseline. Didn't work. It was horrible. Then my mouth was just filled with Vaseline. Then I tried butter. It didn't work either. Well, it's thick.
Did you try the salt and hot water thing?
Well, that's just to clean. That's just to sterilize it. It doesn't make it stop. Salt, once the salt's in there.
That must have been pretty painful, too.
Yeah, big nugget. I told you, big holes. But you can see the side. It's still there, but I feel a lot better.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks, pal. Corey, that must have been fun doing the show with Corey. Do the golf show with him back in the day. Gotta love Parson. Great guy.
Oh, yeah, that was good times.
Cannibal Cam. That was the doctor, too. He goes, yeah, I saw a guy before almost, like, bit off his whole tongue. He goes, wasn't even sure if I was going to stitch that up. I go, then what'd you do for the guy? Like, the guy, so his tongue bleeds for a week? Like, no, I'm telling you, these doctors, Gabe, you stay, whatever you are, if you can handle it from home, do it. That's my tip to everybody out there. Don't deal with these guys. I'll pay for health care. Honestly, I've told my girlfriend after, I would have dropped $200-$300 to just not deal with that situation. It sucked.
So at least the blood has stopped.
Yeah, it has.
The blood has stopped, but the pain continues as the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
They're killing me.
Las Vegas Golden Knights killing you and the Las Vegas sportsbooks. Not only do they win, the casinos they're going to lose $5 million. Boo-hoo, who cares?
Yeah,
they're going to lose $5 million, but where they're really getting beat now, and we talk about it, is everyone's betting on them every game in Vegas.
Puck line?
And then the puck line, scores with essentially the last play of the game.
Always.
It's like just the dagger.
It is.
Like when I saw that, I'm like, oh, God, Vegas going to win the cup. Like it's just every bounce. Like Washington played well. They're firing the puck around.
I'm going to tell you, I think Washington's a better team than Vegas.
But you notice, like,
but Vegas does one thing. They're relentless.
Yeah, but the puck will hit a guy on Vegas.
And go in.
And no, it'll bounce to center ice right to someone else on Vegas. It's like the puck has a magnet. It's like wherever they are, the puck ends up, but like flukily.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing.
I know.
Like, they're good. I'm not taking anything away from them. No. They're good. No excuses.
They are good.
They are so lucky. Like, the hockey gods, it's amazing. They're like, nah, we want this team to win. And then at the end, Lars Eller missing that stupid. Like,
oh, open net. It's like, heel. No, that's the thing. Like, I was like, I'm on Washington. I'm like, oh, God. Like, that's when I was ready to snap. But I took the over. I got the over.
I told people, I said, they're going to score. There was like 3 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
I said, they're going to score. Watch. They're going to send us to overtime. And they did the beautiful tic-tac-toe. And Lars Eller, of course, a former Montreal Canadian, screws it up.
Of course he does. Of course he
Wide
does.
Open net. All he had to do was just, it was just like Happy Gilmore.
Just tap it in. Tap it, tap it, tap it.
Just tap. Just tap it in. That's all he had to do. Just tap it in. Like the puck was right there. He whiffs on it. It's like, holy crap. But listen, Washington have been through adversity in the playoffs already.
They're not afraid of being down 1-0, and they played a bad game,
too. They were down 0-2 after losing two games at home. They were down to the Pittsburgh Penguins. There was adversity. They were down 3-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Oh, no, they're done. It's over.
No, it's not.
They played well. They just couldn't get a bounce.
I'm on Washington.
Like, even if Washington loses tomorrow, I still don't think they're done.
I don't think they lose tomorrow, and I think they win. I think they win the series still, too. I'm putting my money on it again, and I'm waiting for a better series price, and I am attacking. I know. It's suicide financially to bet against Vegas, but I can't. And another thing is, let's call this out. You know what? You brought up a good point months ago. Gerard Gallant, as a coach, is one of the only guys. Want to why he's coach of the year? He's got the balls to put on his fourth line. They get as much. He sees players that are playing well, and he doesn't just put on the stars who suck. Mike Babcock goes, hey, I'm going to put Austin Matthews on. Yeah, nah, he's playing like shit. Why don't you put your other guys on? Gerard Gallant doesn't care about what the media says, whatever. He's a man. He's a boss with big kahunas. And his third and fourth line got first line minutes. And look what happened. Goals, 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 game-winning goals.
Vegas are just doing everything right. They're the best NHL franchise.
Yeah,
they're in the cup. But just from an entertainment standpoint, their practices are open to the public on a daily basis. Not just once in a while, but all the time. The players meet the fans after every practice. They have hot cheerleaders at the practice. They're cranking like Motley Crue and stuff. It's like a party atmosphere.
Wayne Newton's there. They got Gladys Knight and the Pips doing God Bless America. I know. It's perfect.
They got Lil Jon cranking it out outside before.
You said it.
Ton of people. It looked like it was like 50,000 people outside that arena.
Yeah, the night, too. Great, great theater before the start of the game, slaying all the other teams. Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
They raised the bar for the National Hockey League.
You know what the Leafs do at the intermission? They have a dancing bear out there who's a stooge who doesn't even know what he's doing. And they
Carlton?
Have a Carlton. Yeah, he's just doing nothing.
Listen, Cam, it's funny because you're a Leaf fan and I'm not, but I'm getting sick and tired of your Carlton the bear bashing.
He's horrible. As a corporate mascot,
you're not
brutal.
A fan of Carlton.
I even met him at my other radio station. He's like, he half-assed it in his vet. Like, these kids were, like, right there. He's like as a mascot of the Leafs, like, you could just tell he's beaten down, and, like, he's not really giving it his all. I'm sorry, Gabe. I have things to say about Carlton, and they're not good.
Carlton.
I've been in a box, and I met him. Like, he's mailing it in as a bear. Like, he's not getting it done.
You need Yuppie in Montreal.
Yuppie and Clam Chowder don't mail it in. That's the difference. Those guys know how to be a mascot.
Yuppie's a groper.
Sorry. That's one thing Carlton's not.
No, like there's always.
Yuppie's a groper.
No, there's always like the Yuppie dude like grabs chicks and stuff. It's hilarious. Yeah. Now I think Yuppie's like a wrestler. He's like a local wrestler in Montreal. But the old Yuppie at the Expo games.
He's a groper.
Yeah, there were actually a few complaints. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
He had fast hands?
He was a little touchy-feely with the ladies.
And he's in a mascot suit, so he thinks he can get away with it.
It's like, better than the kids, at least. It's like,
oh, I agree, 100%.
It's like, yeah, listen, our mascot's getting a little, getting a little Sandusky-ish here.
No, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, and it's Montreal, so it's a little looser. Yeah. Chicks are a little looser.
True.
But
he's got fast hands.
Like, Yuppie used to, like, see a hot chick and go sit on her lap and stuff.
That's you can't do that today.
But it was obvious with him. Like, he'd sort of, like, kids would be like, Yuppie, Yuppie. Yeah. He'd high-five a kid and then go, like, dance in front of a chick, right? Like, it was like Yuppie was, like, a mascot for women.
You got to say he's pretty smart.
Yeah,
but with today's stuff, though, you got to be very careful.
Yeah. Well,
even as a mascot, you're still a human under there. That's the problem. People think, hey, you dress up, you can do whatever you want. Not true.
Well, that's right. We have our own show mascot, Clam Chowder. And some stadiums let him in and some don't. And the Toronto Blue Jays were very adamant about this. They're like, we can't have, like, some dude just walking around in a mascot uniform. And Clam Chowder's like, some kid looks at Chowder, and Chowder, like, pulls the kid towards him and to take a picture. And the mother's like, stay away from my kid. Security at the Blue Jays like, you got to go.
You're absolutely correct. Like, the liability for having, like, a strange mascot in there, like, it's
oh, yeah.
It's not good.
Because the Clam Chowder was like, he was like, I'm going to boycott the Blue Jays. This is unacceptable that they kick me out. So I had to explain to him that.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, listen, Clam Chowder, there's kids here. Yeah. And
you can't just take pictures.
You can't just have a strange man dressed up in a purple, like, Barney dinosaur outfit. Taking pictures with kids on, like, the Blue Jays property. Then he got mad at me.
Sorry.
He was like, so you're taking her side?
No.
I was like, no, I'm not taking her side. I'm just
explaining.
I'm explaining, Chowder, that from a legal standpoint, Rogers Communications can't have you taking pictures with kids.
Exactly. You are not a licensed mascot under their brand.
Like, it's not just you put a mascot suit on and you're allowed to go to any sporting event.
That's why I'm afraid to take Lisa to a game. She got into an altercation while wasted with.
Yeah, what's the deal? Your girlfriend hates mascots.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, but in one.
But for real,
but,
like,
yeah, really, yeah.
So she mouse off for, like, what was the mascot? She told him, "Get the F away from me."
BJ Birdie, the original Blue Jays mascot. They almost, like, threw down. Like, she told me, like, the bird got in her face, and she, like, there was contact made. Like, she told me she wants to come back to the game to see the new mascots, Ace and Diamond. She's going to give them a piece of their minds. I go, honey, please, we can't just go to events and you to get kicked out and, like, lip off the mascots because you think it's cool.
That's
she
awesome.
Hates mascots. No, she hates people that dress up in costumes.
That's the best
except
girlfriend.
For Clam Chowder. She likes Clam Chowder because he knows us.
She got into it with the Blue Jays mascot.
Oh, yeah, and Carlton the Bear, too, in a box. We were at a Minnesota Wild Leafs game. She go, Carlton, you got to do better. He's like, he's trying to do a pitcher with Doug Gilmore. It was a disaster. Absolute train wreck.
And, there's a big rivalry among mascots, too, because Clam Chowder hates the Raptor, T-Rex, too.
You can't hate him. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
He doesn't like the Raptor. And we were in the game, and Clem Chowder was dressed as Elvis. And guys, if you go on YouTube, Clam Chowder, Elvis is in the building. You'll see him shooting free throws. You've seen it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's freaking gold.
It is gold.
It's one of the funniest things in the history of ever. Like, it's so funny. So after, the Raptors mascot came up to us and sort of high-fived everyone around us. And Clam Chowder snubbed him. Clam Chowder didn't give him the high five. So I said to Chowder, what's up? You got a problem with the Raptor? He's like, I don't like him. He's like, he doesn't like the Raptors because they won't let him in as the mascot.
So he hates the Leafs and Raptors.
Yeah, but he's a big Argo fan because the Argos put him at the 50-yard line.
Perfect. The Argos don't care. Liability? Come on, Clam Chowder, come on in. Take as many pictures with kids as you'd like.
You're right. The Argos, are stringent with the law.
We need publicity.
No, you know what they did? Because Chowder goes to that Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got all these like people dressed up as Chewbacca.
Yeah,
and all
Warlords, yeah, Sailor Moon.
So, the Argos were playing. So the Argos actually went over. They sent over their PR guy, whatever, and he plucked like a bunch of people. And he said, hey, who wants free Argo tickets? Yeah. And you want to come on the field dressed up in costume? It was in conjunction with Comic-Con.
That's so good.
So Chowder, of course, is all over
he's
that.
All over yeah. He's all over it.
He's all over it. He's all over that. And the Argos let Chowder stay on the sideline.
Of course
after.
They did.
So in uniform, in costume. So, yeah. So, yeah. Clam Chowder's a big Toronto Argonauts
fan. Oh, he loves the Argonauts.
Yeah, yeah. He hates the Alouettes. The Alouettes don't even, like, let him anywhere near the stadium. Like,
he's banned.
No, yeah. The Alouettes, like, when he's outside the stadium,
they talk to
him. They're like, listen, you're not our mascot. Like, the Alouettes, it's Quebec, right? So they're very direct.
You're not our mascot. Like, leave the property.
In French, it's like, c'est quoi ton problème, call us tabarnak. And it means, what's your freaking problem, Jesus, all right? You got to go, man. Like, so he hates the Alouettes. All right, so CFL season, and it's on DraftKings, people.
DraftKings,
it's
CFL.
On DraftKings. It started preseason. Jeff Nadeau joins us next. We're going to get him a team to cheer for.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
The earth begins to rumble.
Lots of metalheads on the train, Morency, for that Slayer show
tonight.
Yeah,
Slayer's playing tonight. Sucks. 9:20, I guess they go on stage.
I talked to a guy. I think there's six bands. Gets going around 5:30, 6 o'clock. They're on at 9:20 Eastern.
I'm still recovering from my own personal metal tour.
Exactly. You can't go support somebody else's.
I'm also waiting for some checks.
Yeah. Money! Money's great!
Slayer concerts aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
Marionettes.
Are they playing at the Budweiser stage?
That's through the show. Yeah,
right. No, you're going to hear the show almost.
I will.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, Slayer,
for a band like
Slayer
that?
Loud enough, I will.
You will be echoing right on
usually,
your balcony.
Yeah, I live near the concert hall outdoors, guys. And normally, I can just sort of, you can hear the band, but none of the bands are really loud enough that I can fully tell. The only one that I could hear the songs were the Scorpions. There's no one like you.
Like, damn.
I was on the balcony, I could hear Rock You Like Her. Like, you can hear it in the background echoing.
I like the Scorps.
and Queensryche.
Oh, Queensryche.
It was the same night. Queensryche and Scorpions were pretty loud. No, it was echoing around the city.
Queensryche are very good. Like, those guys are great musicians.
Dude, Metallica played outdoors in Montreal once on an island, mm-hmm. and some weird acoustic type thing. It bounced off like the river, and it hit this suburb. I don't know. It was a weird, unexplainable, like acoustic, weird thing. And Metallica were that loud that the entire city of Montreal could hear, but certain neighborhoods
got rocked.
No, but people were like in their bedroom, like sleep, trying to go to bed, and they could hear "For Whom the Bell Tolls." Like, it was echoing, and I guess Kiss played at the same place. And they had to turn it down because it was like, it was heard at the airport type thing.
Wow.
It was like, because I don't know, it's a weird, Montreal's an island, so it sort of echoes. There's like
a good point.
There's an acoustic tunnel that sort of booms. Like,
you ever notice? No, great point. You ever notice AM radio? Me and my buddy went out to like Peterborough and we're getting Notre Dame football. The certain way the water is with, like, that's the radio waves are wild, man. Like, I'm getting like Kent State games and stuff. It's nuts. You can go for a tour.
All right, so CFL season, preseason has begun. I'm 1-1 with the bets. I bet on the first preseason game. I had the under, but I lost the side.
Oh, Edmonton and Sask?
Yeah, Saskatchewan sucks. Yeah,
don't be betting on them anymore.
All right, so we're going to get to some NBA talk with Big Man on Campus and maybe a little World Cup action as well. But Big Man on Campus, of course, likes to bet on sports. He's a big sports fan. And the CFL, their games are on ESPN, and it's on DraftKings. And as you know, people are looking for something to bet on in the summer.
It's fun.
So, you know, his favorite team will be whoever he happens to bet on. But we want to get him a foundation of a team and teach him about the CFL. Big Man on Campus steps up. And what's up, Big Man?
How are you guys?
Always
fantastic.
A pleasure. Always a pleasure. So we asked people on Twitter, and I noticed the Winnipeggers are coming out strong right now.
I told Morenci, I go, maybe Winnipeg Blue Bombers would be the game. He's like, no, that's another team.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? As an Eagle fan, the Bomber fans might be closest to you guys. Yeah. They are the most wasted, and, like, they do throw things on the field, and they boo their team often and stuff. So it could be – it's a good
– I was going to say –
it's very Philadelphia-ish.
Yes, yes.
Oh, listen, I'm not one that engages in that sort of behavior, though, so I don't know that, you know, I want to kind of try to get away from that. And I feel like for me, I want to take a pretty good team. And I feel like I might have one, Gabe, but I want to hear the results and I want to hear where people are going here.
Let's go through each team here, Cam.
Yep.
Let's describe the
fan base.
Team. All right, let's start off with Hamilton.
Oh, I like it.
It's a good fan base, Hamilton.
Very strong.
A lot of Buffalo Bill fans or Hamilton Tiger Cat fans.
Loyal. Hardworking.
It's
don't like just blue collar. Very.
They're like the Buffalo Bills.
Very good call.
They're the Buffalo. They are the Buffalo. A lot of Bills fans are Argo fans as well, but the Argos are more sleek. Like the Ticats are the Buffalo. Like they get wasted. It's like they live for the team. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like
their stadium's named after a coffee shop.
And you know what, Big Man? Not a bad franchise to follow. June Jones is the coach.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel. Jeremiah Masoli's playing real well in the preseason right now. They've got some ballers on that team. It's you know, no shame in being a Ticat fan. Now, I'm a Montreal Alouette fan.
Oh, God, what a rough year it's going to be.
We're like the Baltimore Ravens. You know, we used to be like the Ravens, sort of win on defense. The Alouettes were known as being like the cockiest, sort of dirtiest, sort of jerk team in the league. But they're falling on hard times. And
they're close to the Browns now, Gabe. They're very bad.
They're a train wreck.
They are a train wreck.
They're a train wreck. half their fans don't even know, like, they couldn't name one player on the team at a game, but their hot chicks getting wasted and stuff. It's a very good party atmosphere at a Montreal Alouette game. Ottawa, that's the most boring sort of.
Not bad. The Ottawa fan, though, they come in with the red and black. Big Man doesn't seem like a plaid type of guy wearing like
a lumberjack coat and cutting
wood. No, yeah. No, we'll avoid the red blacks. I don't think your love of power tools and plaid is going
to
work.
Yeah. Now we get to the Toronto Argonauts, the defending Grey Cup champions. The oldest professional football team in North American history.
Yes.
History. Older. These guys are like older than the NFL itself. The Argonauts, these guys have been playing football for like 130 years. Not well, but 130 years.
Couple good years.
Couple of good years along the way. Doug Flutie, Rockin' Ishmael. But now the Argos, they're the new Alouettes, and that's why the Alouettes suck. Former Montreal Alouette general manager Jim Popp is the general manager in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Mark Trussman, former Chicago Bear head coach, offensive coordinator with the Raiders, Ravens, San Francisco 49ers, Anthony Cavillo, CFL quarterback, legend, quarterback coach with the Toronto Argonauts right now. Playing in Canada's biggest city, big man. Really cool uniforms, too.
Oh yeah, the double blue?
Oh, the
gorgeous.
Double blue. Yeah, yeah. Argos.
Argos.
All right, we get into the West, Winnipeg. Not only the murder capital of Canada, but also the drunkest fans in the league by far.
The murder capital of Canada.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know, it's true. My tenant Joe came back for me. He actually told me he saw, like, he went to a bar and saw two guys almost kill each other.
Exactly.
It's very rough.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
That's the thing.
They also have, from what I understand, 75 known street gangs and over 1,500 members.
Yeah, it's a pretty small. It's a pretty small city, big man. So you add it up. In other words, like every third dude's a gangster.
Yeah, correct. Which I got to be honest, it's not too far away from my norm. But I will say, I don't know. There's some couple people that I've came across from Winnipeg that I wasn't a big fan of. So I'm gonna go away from the Manitobans.
They're not mentally well.
Correct.
Mentally well.
I'm just saying.
Very grifty too. Well, a lot of angles.
We're using Auburn Wild as one of our barometers here. But yeah, no, there's a lot of, that's the thing there. It's like a lot of cities, there's murder and stuff, but it's like, yeah, the mob whacks somebody or the bikers or the, you know, the gang, this or that. There in Winnipeg, it's like bar fights and stuff.
Yeah. Jackknives and bars, like native gangs. They're tough.
Like,
yep. Very dangerous stuff.
Native hookers go missing.
Yeah. Great point.
But they have a good football team.
They sure do.
And you know what? They're a fun team, too. Like,
actually, I really like them. I can't help it.
Me and Cam are buddies with their head coach.
Yeah. Mike O'Shea's our friend.
They're a good team, big man. They're a good team. They are. They're a team to keep your eye on this year. Saskatchewan is the most popular team in the league. Like, they're like Seattle Seahawks. Like, they're nut
jobs.
Like
they're like kind of more, I would say even more like the Patriots. Like, they own like everyone in Saskatchewan. Man.
Like, you know what's crazy? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders guys sold more merchandise than the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are the number one merch seller. And what's crazy, I've never seen a piece of rider gear anywhere ever outside of there, yet it's still number one. In other words, every son of a bitch in that province has that gear.
Yeah. Well, when they have a comp,
they live
for
this.
Yes, they do. They do. And you know what the best thing about a rider jersey is? Never a name on the back. You know what I mean? They'll get like the personalized name, like Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
name, yeah.
Mom's friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the best.
Badass. Like,
Badass. It's the best.
And their fans,
they have personalized jerseys.
They're fans, big man. They wear watermelons
on their heads. Yeah.
They cut out watermelons. They cut out the watermelon and they put like
on their head.
They wear it as a hat after. Melon.
So it's kind of like, they were like cheese heads, but I was under the impression, and forgive me, I don't know a ton about Canada. I won't try to say I do, but like I've always been under the impression that Saskatchewan was fairly desolate for the most part. Like,
yes.
It wasn't a barren wasteland, really.
It's the prairies, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like Iowa.
Great point, Gabe. And another thing is, like, when you're in Regina, and I've been there a few times, the wind there's no buildings. Or, like, it's absolutely killer. It's like windstorms and stuff.
Kind of barren, really.
Now we get to Mick's team. The Edmonton Eskimos, he says.
Yeah, but he has about 60, ever know.
Exactly.
One of his teams?
Yeah. The Edmonton Eskimos, a powerful franchise. Warren Moon, they won 5 Grey Cups in a row.
They used to be powerful.
They're still good.
They're still okay. They're there.
I respect them.
I do, too. But they're not Calgary.
The Calgary Stampeders this team is like the dominant team in the league every year. Well-run organization. They've got money. Rich oil people are fans and stuff. They got a nice, you know, they got a good thing going. Well-run organization, but they choke in a big game every year. Like, every year they're 16-2, and then they lose in the Grey Cup. It's like deja vu all over again. And the BC Lions are the biggest underachievers in the league. They always have a ton of talent. They're laid back in BC. They have no fans in BC.
Darsh is he's a great, he's a fan, but he's the exception to
but
the rule.
The fans are high on weed. So, like, they're laid back. You know what I mean?
You're right. There's less anger at a BC game.
And people only go to BC Lion games in Vancouver if they do well.
It's interesting.
Fair weather.
You've described, like, it's interesting when you've said about these teams. Because, like, every team you described, I feel like I could give you, like, the NFL version of
exactly.
them. Like,
yeah,
I would equate, like, a BC fan to, like, maybe, like, a Charger fan. Or
they
like,
are. Great
yeah.
analogy.
Great call.
Calgary are Peyton Manning and the Colts. Edmonton are the Green Bay Packers in the league.
They also have the same colors.
Yeah, but they are. They've been around forever. They're just sort of that, you know, tradition. They're never really in financial trouble or anything like that. So out of these teams, big man, who catches your eye? Whose fan sees your eye here of these clubs?
You know, I got to tell you, I the one thing I took out of what you said, blue collar. And I'll tell you, in this town where I'm at, in Philadelphia and surrounding areas, that's what we are, very blue collar. You know, kind of you take your lunch pail to work kind of people. I got to tell you, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are leading my charge right now.
They're the most blue-collar team in the league.
Dude,
their stadium's right in the neighborhood next to houses and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's the most blue-collar like
that's,
it is.
That's kind of how like, the Eagle Stadium is. I mean, it's walkable from the neighborhood. It's closest to me, Hamilton. So, and listen, it's not just the Johnny Manziel stuff. Like, I was a big fan of Masoli. I love Vernon Adams when he was at Oregon. Dane Evans at Tulsa. All their quarterbacks are quarterbacks that I know. I remember Storm Johnson when he was at South Florida, the running back there. There's some guys that I remember.
They're a very NCAA-laden team.
Good NCAA players.
Not every CFL team is like that, big man. Like, some of them will go, you know, we're going to go for the kid from Southeast Louisiana, smaller colleges. Hamilton with June Jones, they're all about those names.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Let's get the name college guys that have been in big conferences and stuff. But they're a fun team, Hamilton. And you know who's a fan of the Ticats, too? Bubano.
Bubano.
I know, sure. No, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of maybe a bonding experience for us. I like the blue collarness of them. I'm in on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's my new team.
Prepare to be heartbroken.
Yeah, they'll break your heart and your wallet big time.
You know when they were good, big man? You know who their quarterback was? The buddy of me in camp too,
Danny McManus,
former Florida State quarterback. Biggest hands I've ever seen, and
biggest crushing beers. Remember that? I'll do another segment if you guys get me beers. That tray was gone in like under 2 minutes.
Not too many people that can pound beer back faster than Cam can, but Danny
Mack is a legend.
Holy crap, that guy could drink.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess it's time to get myself, I don't even know what their colors are. I got to get myself a shirt or something.
Yeah, look it up. Look up their logo now. Look it up.
Oh, there we go.
No, it's right there. Black and gold, buddy, right in your wheelhouse.
I like gold. That
logo is so great.
What, the Tiger Cat?
The CFL logos are so ghetto, but I love
it.
Like that Tiger Cat.
I hate to say it. Like Winnipeg, just with the
Winnipeg.
W, it's Washington.
You've got
it's the Washington Huskies, just W.
You got to
You're set at Edmonton, EE, Argo,
like
hey.
BC have the coolest uniforms and
yes.
logos.
The Stampeders in BC kind of took it up a notch, but the rest of the league needs a lot of work. Like these, like a kid could have put these together. They're awful, but I like them.
I mean, I can get a 3-game flex pack at $35 a game.
Yeah, that is correct.
It's affordable.
No, actually, that's a good seat too.
Dude, we're going to the home opener, the Toronto Argonauts, Saturday, June 23rd. And I looked up on StubHub, best tickets in the house, $56.
Perfect.
They have some. They have some for $290 and stuff. But
we're not there.
No, these are just as good on the other side. Right at midfield. Yeah, no, the CFL is affordable. So there's a couple other things. So you are aware about the it's three downs. So you know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three downs. Now
the dimensions of the field.
Right, yeah, the field is bigger. The end zone's like 25 yards.
No, the end zone 20 yards compared to NFL's 10, double.
Oh, it's 20. All right.
Also, the best, my favorite, goalposts in the front, not the back.
Oh, yeah,
so guys can get.
And also, yeah.
I love goalposts in the front.
Yeah, 20 yards. You're right. And then you get a single point for booting the ball through the end zone. So think like a touchback, but. If you miss a field goal, they can return it.
Yeah, like, ball's live.
So in the CFL, it's always action. So there's going to be someone in the end zone that if they don't, he's going to try to get it out of the end zone or he'll give up the single point.
Yep.
And it's really good for over betters, big men.
And they can also get like a running start receivers, right?
Or no? Yes, yeah. They can. Yeah. They'd be in motion.
Every wide receiver can be in motion, dude. And another thing is they don't call offside. So the wide receivers sometimes are like 5 yards offside, and they don't call it. Unless someone's going to win $1 million when they screwed that lady last
That's
year.
Right. Yeah, they'll take back a kick return for a touchdown when a lady's going to get rich.
Yeah.
Good work.
So and I'm fired up, and you'll be able to watch the games, big man. They're going to be on here it is. All right. International bonus.
ESPN, I think, too, has a lot of the games.
Yeah, they put them on ESPN. Yeah, they put them also on the ESPN app.
Yeah, ESPN. Yeah, ESPN 3 or whatever the hell it is, yeah.
It's going to be a win year, buddy. You're all in.
Wow, this is pretty cool. CFL is selling single-game passes internationally. $2.99 to watch one game.
Wow.
$36 to watch one team for the entire year, or $79 for the entire season online.
That's
good deal.
A steal.
All right, we'll hit NBA with Big Man on the other side.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
McCossie's tweeting pictures of him and a cardboard cutout of Pamela Anderson. We're off to a great start here.
Yeah. When she was a BC Lions cheerleader? Remember the poster with her? Labatt Blue?
People are asking
which you can't see at all. Very small.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like he's hanging her.
Yeah.
Looks like he's like killing Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, bring the rope out.
The best is Mick like advertises that he has Pam Anderson like on his show.
And it's a cutout.
It's a cardboard cutout of it. Look, here he is.
I would do his impression right now, but doesn't sound as good on the
He goes, here. Here's me and Pammy Anderson. You're not with Pammy Anderson, Mick. You're with a cardboard cutout of her. That's kind of strange that you carry around like with her. Like, who carries around a cardboard cutout of Pamela Anderson?
Yeah, cardboard cutouts, blow-up dolls, all sorts of stuff.
Somebody's asking if they think CFL will ever go to Halifax. And no, I was just in Halifax.
It's not happening.
Not enough money there, no.
It'd be nice if they have one more team, though.
Yeah, Quebec City. They got the Laval Football College.
That's
like
the thing.
That there.
That's the thing. It's a pipeline to guys getting into the NCAA and CFL there. So
Moncton.
Maybe.
Moncton has money. But no, it's kind of awkward. It is what it is.
They could have one maritime team, but that wouldn't logistically it would suck. Like, where are you going to put it? And then you'd have to like
the thing is in Halifax. It would make sense in Halifax, but they don't like change there. Like they don't. There's no like real. No one's like we got to get this team.
Yeah.
People are like, well, no, we could. You know what I mean?
It's not. Like it's not like it's a pressing issue.
Yeah.
Right.
So screw them. All right. So let's talk about the NBA finals. And the odds makers aren't expecting much of this NBA finals.
No, they're not.
Because the Golden State Warriors are massive favorites in this series. They're minus 1,100 favorites to win the series, 11-1. Cleveland Cavaliers pay plus 700 if you think it's going to be the upset here, and there won't be. So now we got to get into a series correct score cam and big man. So Golden State Warriors to win in five, which is.
I think that's the
that's
number.
Kind of a
Cleveland
consensus.
Will get their one damn win at home, won't they?
Yeah, you figure Golden State will roll over once. That only pays plus 160.
Not enough. Not enough.
Sweep. Plus 250. Warriors in seven. That's not happening. Plus 700.
Six. Five or six.
Warriors in six, plus 450.
See? So, and the other one's plus 160?
Yeah.
So if you bet them both, yeah.
Cavs sweep. What do you think of Cavs sweep? 150 to 1.
I was going to say like 90 to 1. 150 to 1.
150 to 1 Cavaliers sweep. Cavaliers to win in 5, 80 to 1. Cavaliers to win in 6, 20 to 1. Cavaliers to win in 7, 25 to 1. Big man, we'll start with you. What's your take on these NBA finals? Is it anticlimactic for you coming in here now? Like, what if it would have been? It probably would have been. Listen, I had a big series for Price on Golden State, yep. But it would have been more entertaining to have Houston versus Cleveland, wouldn't it have been?
I think, yeah, from a series perspective, it probably would have been better games, would have been a longer series. But, listen, I think any time LeBron James is involved, it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be a fine series. The games might not be or the series might not be close, but I think the games will be generally decent. I don't think Cleveland has much of a chance, though. I mean, you look at just how inconsistent they are. I mean, other than LeBron, I mean, will his fuel gauge at some point just get too filled? I mean, he's got to be getting very drained at this point. Every game he's having to put together some amazing performance. And they don't play as a team enough. I mean, every other game, someone doesn't show up. What's Kevin Love's status going forward? No one other than LeBron James has scored over 12.5 points a game on the Cavs in two of their three playoff series. They don't. They just don't give them enough. It's always in random, you know, spots. I just don't see them play enough as a team. They don't have a good enough group around LeBron to do anything. I think they get swept, frankly. They could win a game, but I just don't see – I don't think your defense is going to keep up. That's something that they kind of got going, but it wasn't hard to do against the Celtics, who have trouble scoring as it is. The Warriors are going to eat them alive.
Very disappointing by the Celtics in game seven there, Gabe, on their home floor. In the first quarter, they had an opportunity to bury them. And as I watch it, I just knew Cleveland, chip, 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 chip. They just kept on chopping the tree. And after that, you knew. The minute they took the lead, Boston was
starting to tighten up.
They really tightened up, buddy.
And they started, you know, Terry Rozier had a great playoff run, yeah. But he just consistently kept on taking three-point shots.
Missing, bricking.
And it was ridiculous.
And they also don't have, like, the Celtics don't have that go-to scorer. I mean, they have a lot of really good players.
Yeah,
I don't
Tatum's
know they
a
have...
rookie. Exactly. He's a kid. Yeah.
Sure. They don't have that, like, they don't have a LeBron, they don't have a Durant, they don't have a Harden, they don't have that guy. Sixers don't either. If you notice, that's their two teams that are still not in the playoffs because they don't have that guy. Cleveland has it, but
you think LeBron's gonna go to Philadelphia, don't you? I don't think he
yes.
is.
I think it's a foregone conclusion. I think it's really just waiting for the season.
Foregone conclusion? Wow.
I think inevitably it's about as easy as it's going to come. I mean, you have to look at all different ways. First of all, I don't think there's any possibility he wants to go to the East or the West. I mean, why would you want to do that? Also, what is his goal going forward? Okay, because he's won championships. He's obviously the best player we've ever seen, arguably. Does he want to continue along those lines or towards the end of his career?
Yeah, but it's not like Philadelphia is the closest team to winning an NBA title or anything like that.
I disagree. I think they're very close, and he's made it clear he wants to play off the ball. I don't know if there's any better player right now to play off the ball with than Ben Simmons. You have a young team there. You have a city that's starting to taste a lot of winning. It's a place people want to go to. It is in the East, and you don't have to worry about the West until the finals. Does he want to be kind of end his career along the lines of, hey, I'm going to go here because I have businesses here or
look,
I have a family?
The Houston Rockets nearly just beat the Golden State Warriors without Chris Paul.
Yep.
Right?
Correct. But
if LeBron James joins the Houston Rockets and it's LeBron James, Chris Paul, and James Harden,
they will beat Golden State.
They get beat, yeah. And he's actually friends with James Harden and Chris Paul. And there's no taxes in the state of Texas.
But
He's not buddies with Joel Embiid. It's not like Joel Embiid's close to winning. I mean, maybe he's close to slamming the ball on some 10-year-old kid's face, like on a basketball court in Philly today. But you know, like they're not that close. Like they're not on the edge. They're not on the doorstep of winning. Really,
with
right
LeBron
now.
Though.
Oh, I think that LeBron there.
You throw LeBron anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You put LeBron on the Toronto Raptors, and
they're
win
champions,
East, right? You
yep.
put him. You put him anywhere. They're yep. gonna win.
But I think it's hard. I think it's hard to not say that with LeBron James, they're the favorite in the NBA. I mean, also, I mean, Chris Paul is injured constantly. I mean, how long can you trust? I mean, is he going to be in there? We saw how poor they were without Chris Paul. He has to play off the ball. They need some kind of point guard. And I agree, Chris Paul is a very good point guard, but, you know, he is injured quite frequently. Do they have enough to re-sign him and to go out and get LeBron James? That's another big question. I don't know. We'll see. I think the Sixers are the favorite, though.
Yeah, what's the what's the financial situation for the Sixers with the contract?
I don't know why.
How do you work that?
I get that LeBron's wife was seen looking at schools. Whatever, man. She was going to play schools in L.A. too, right? So, I mean, he has a house in L.A. I don't see it. I don't know why. I think it's a bad bet. The Philadelphia right now, Philadelphia 76ers plus 150 favorites, actually, where LeBron will play next year. Cleveland Cavaliers plus 175. Rockets are plus 250. Lakers plus 550. Golden State Warriors, which is actually something that
could happen.
Except I don't know how they could fit that money. You're just talking about Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know. That's a crazy amount of money.
And then the Clippers, but that's been thrown out. Clippers as well are 25-1. So speaking of which, get a 50% sign-up bonus at mybookie.ag. It's a 50% sign-up bonus. Don't worry about DFS and getting upset and cutting your tongue and bleeding all over the place like Ham Stewart.
That's me.
Due to DFS frustrations, late scratches. It sucks. You know what?
Like
you know,
a Ginsu through butter.
90% of your lineup performs, but one guy didn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? You lost money on the night.
Screwed.
Screw that stuff. Just bet on the baseball game solely over at mybookie.ag. Get a 50% sign-up bonus. Promo code GTD. Check out their prop builder as well. It's a great prop builder. You know, it'll be really, really cool, the prop builder for the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Zoning in. On the player prop. So check it out over at mybookie.ag. See, I just don't see it, big man. I don't see him going to Philadelphia. Now, they would be, listen, they're going to be potent if it happens.
They're the favorite, so a lot of people think he's going to Philadelphia. Plus 150?
I don't see it happening, though.
I mean, I think we could take out the Lakers. He's not going to the Lakers, okay? They're not ready to even contend. And if you put him on the Lakers, they're still not going to contend. It's just not going to happen. Sorry. They're out. He's not going to the Lakers. I mean, especially if he wants to continue to be at the level he's been at.
So what are the teams?
Philly,
Cleveland, Houston.
I think Cleveland's dead as well. He's not staying in Cleveland. I think the ruptured relationship between him and Dan Gilbert is palpable. I don't think there's any way he stays there. I mean, Gabe, you look like this as well.
He's had the same relationship with Gilbert for years, though, right?
It's gotten worse. From various reports, it's gotten worse. He's not happy with the things Dan Gilbert's done, who he is, the kind of guy he is. Listen, Gabe, you said you don't think the Sixers are able to win the championship. I mean, he's gotten to the finals with this team. I mean, how are they not ready to compete at the finals level with LeBron? I mean, they have two of the best young players in the league.
No, I know.
No, it did, yeah.
But if you're LeBron, he pretty much puts any team over the top. Not any team, but most
of them.
So then it comes down to a personal choice for him. I think the Houston Rockets, personally, I think it's Chris Paul. I think it's James Harden. That's where he ends up.
But can they afford all that? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be difficult, I think. I mean,
they don't really have anyone else making a lot of money on that team, right? That's the thing.
Well, I mean, you have three max guys. I mean, that's it. I don't know. We'll see. I think you're right, though. Those are the two favorites. I just think I go to the West. I mean, why worry about anyone else in the West? Do you have to?
The Warriors look like they're kind of
– if you can find a way to work some salaries out, you'd have to do a lot of restructuring.
I think Kevin Durant's going to bolt. That's another thing, too, that Kevin Durant and LeBron could end up together in a year or two.
Like, and also, Gabe, keep in mind, I mean, Kyrie Irving and him hate each other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be sweet to face him every – how good would those Eastern Conference Finals be? Sixers, Boston, they hate each other. I hate Boston as it is. Kyrie on one side, LeBron and Embiid on the other. That would be sick for years to come. I mean, that would be really special to watch. I hope it happens. Just I think it'd be absolutely great for basketball. You got Houston and Golden State at one league. You got – in the other league, you have the Celtics and the Sixers. I think it'd be great for the league, frankly.
I can tell you one thing, big man. I don't ever want to see Golden State and Cleveland in a final again. Like, this is – I'm getting so sick and tired of this. It's ridiculous.
Well, it was nearly Houston and Boston. I would have been.
That would have been cool. I would have been happy with, like, just seeing Golden State again. And what kind of final does the team open up at minus 950 money line favorite and a 12-point favorite?
Cam, considering we took what little money that we had left on Conflict Diamond,
yes,
and put it all on the Golden State Warriors.
I was not consulted.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
When did this happen? When I was in the hospital? That's the best. I didn't get the text message. We're all in, Cam. You know what? Whatever. What was my share? Huh? A couple $100? Let it ride,
exactly.
Maxie. Let it ride.
Well, look, we're alive.
We are alive. Yeah, we're alive.
I was waiting to give you the good news.
Thanks, buddy.
Basically, if they would have lost, I was just going to give you $200 and say, listen, we're done.
Now we can make a few extra hundred. It's good.
Now we're trying to, we're going to get through this, big man.
Yep.
Our horse racing career was a disaster. God,
some idiot up the way owns our horse now.
Yeah, so I didn't want to know what he was doing. So we didn't have a choice. We got ripped off. We got played like a bunch of, like, we walked into carnival like a bunch of Mormons.
You're absolutely right.
Like, we were like Mormons at a carny.
You're right. It was like a shell game, and we went for it. Like, we got fleeced by the horse industry. Like, look at these two idiots. Oh, yeah.
We got shaken down by, like, little jockeys.
Yeah.
They, like, shook us all the money.
I would actually say more the trainer.
And, like, we tapped out, like, all right, we're out. Like, basically, it was like, I don't even care anymore.
I'm going to be honest with
you. I don't even want to take your calls anymore, so I don't care. I'm out.
I'm going to tell you something, Gabe. If Cal was an old man, I'd make a visit down to the barn.
Yeah.
Like, he's got some splaining to do.
No, like, we have investors, same thing. We have another investor.
Who wants to make a visit somewhere.
Yeah, we have a major investor. He lost about five dimes in this thing. He's like, I want to come up there and punch everyone in the face.
I don't blame him.
Now, let me ask you, this horse – forgive me if I'm being rude here. I'm guessing they sold you a lemon horse. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
He was actually a good horse, big man. He won by 9 lengths with a 152 flat. But you know what he did? He got hurt. He got hurt one time, and then our trainer, I think, fleeced us. Like, he wasn't ready to come back, and we just kept on throwing him out there. And then he finished
last.
We
didn't know.
We got hosed.
We didn't know that our trainer
was a magician.
Wanted to retire.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
he put in a half-assed effort.
We were under the impression that our horse was like at a barn with a bunch of other horses and stuff.
He did nothing.
And then we find out like 2 months later that no, the horse is alone. And not only that, our trainer is working in another barn during the day.
Yeah. So our horse is out there eating grass, doing nothing.
Our horse is basically like just one of those horses you see on the side of the road in the country when you're driving. It was a good life for our horse. Like, he was just sort of walking around and jogging around
bad life for investors and us.
And we had someone going. We had the son of someone going who was a professional driver, but the son knows horses, but he's not a professional
trainer.
And then we're going up against these sharks that have been Hall of Famers and in the business forever.
They ate us up.
They put us behind the eight ball. We had to pay, and there was the fees, and we got job. But anyways, long story short, the only way out of this, it was pathetic. Either take pennies on the dollar or lay it all down on the Golden State Warriors. And then they suck, and they go when they lost. I was going to have a heart attack going into last night.
You're so now we're
alive, and then after, big man, we're going to take that Warrior money. And we're going to lay it down on those to qualify World Cup parlays you and I were talking about.
Oh, they're so good, aren't they? Oh, I can't wait. I'm really, you know, many people look to like a woman for comfort. I look to World Cup parlay. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Great. I don't bet parlays. Those are the only parlays I bet.
You should see Cam's face. He's like, oh, dear God.
I'm just looking at you. Just keep rolling it.
No, they're good parlays. Tell them.
They're not your father's parlays. These are really high level, high reward, little risk. I mean, just really solid stuff.
Yeah, this is
you're
it.
Getting, like,
to qualify, to advance into the next round.
Yeah.
England, to advance into the next round. Uruguay, to qualify in the next round. Portugal.
Yes.
To win the group. France.
Ooh.
To qualify. Argentina. To win the group. Brazil. To win the group. Germany. Pays plus 450.
Hey,
Gabe. Yep. Hey, Gabe.
Yo.
I want to make this quickly. I know we don't have any time. I do believe Vladimir Putin was behind the Mohamed Salah injury in the Champions League. I think there was something there.
You're buying into this now.
How's Liverpool's goalie doing? That was what
else? Nice. Follow Big Man on Campus at Jeff Needham. See you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the only free 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. News update.
In the NBA, Coach Tyronn Lue said that Kevin Love is still in the concussion protocol, and he's, quote, not sure if Love will be.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions.
We're back. It's like Star Trek. We're lost in cyberspace. Where the hell were we?
Time machine.
You're right. A lot of swearing went on the last couple of minutes. I don't know. We might. I don't know.
Even you're starting to cascade sweat like me. So I look it above your brow there. Like, oh, he's sweating. I don't know what happened.
There's a combination of things right there. We got frozen in time, essentially. It's like the Matrix.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Not much. You try. You got through.
Yeah, we're live. We're through. Basically, at the last commercial break, everything just sort of went silent.
It went dead. Yeah, no. They just pew.
But for like we were still on, and then we started swearing a lot, and I didn't know if we were on.
Oh, we were still on then.
I don't know.
Couldn't hear anything.
I don't know. I think we could have been, or we might not have been, but. It's like, then the system froze. Like, everything just went silent.
Exactly.
But we're back.
We are.
We're back. We apologize for the
sorry,
delay.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Computers, soundboards, a lot of cords.
Yeah, I don't.
Shit happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've been pretty good, actually.
It's from the first little while, for
I
sure.
I did unplug us last week. I kicked the cable
out of
the
wall. But you knew the problem. That's the difference.
Like, well, that was just me being stupid and tripping
over
the cable. You said,
hey, there goes the cable. The problem is, people, when we don't know what the problem is, it on the other end, is it? That's the thing. We knew it was the cable that time. This time, we didn't know what was going on. Big difference.
No. But nevertheless, what are you going to do, right?
No, that's what I say. Hey.
I get frustrated about these things, but I can't control it.
No.
I can't control the internet or this Sun SIP soft phone. That's what the program
is. The program.
Sun SIP soft phone.
It usually dials right through.
Yeah. So
we went manually. We went to like a roto phone.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It was basically like dialing, and we were on, but nothing was happening after. It's just one of those weird deals. Like, we've never really seen that before.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, it's something new every day.
Yeah, it is what it is. So let's move on.
Sure, buddy.
All right. So it's going to be a quick segment.
Yep.
It's okay, because the other ones are so damn long. I swear to God, this show's 3 hours long. I think there's like 5 minutes of commercial breaks on this
show.
It's
tough. The good thing we have don't have like ileitis or colitis or bad bowels, because that could be a real problem.
I got an idea for Cardano if he's tuning in right now. Why don't we just like make these spots that I read 30-second commercials?
Yeah.
It would actually give us time to go to the bathroom.
I like it. I'll voice a couple, too.
Yeah.
We'll mix
you
it up.
You can talk about how good my bookie AG is.
It is. I'm very happy with my bookie AG.
And you know what? I think it's. I think you should donate, actually, to DKMS, because you just lost a lot of blood. You know
I swallowed a lot of blood. You're damn right I should donate.
Yeah.
Well, if Golden State wins, Gabe, maybe I'll give some of our monies from the horse to DKMS.
Well, we don't have that much money from that payment.
You didn't tell me what the hell's going on. I didn't even know you put the monies in there, but, you know, at least it's only like a couple hundred bucks.
It's like free money then.
Yeah, exactly. Free money. That's what the horse was.
Yeah, nothing but glory.
Yeah. You want to be an owner, do you?
Nothing but glory. Nothing but glory. So you want a chance to win two tickets to a 2018 World Series game, go to dailyroto.com, DKMS. You'll find a link to a free DFS baseball contest every day. The contests are sponsored by DKMS. We're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance of survival. Well, 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family. 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger like Cam Stewart to step up and donate. Yeah. Find out how you can help and play free DFS contest with a shot at winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. And I said, you know, you need someone like Cam because, trust me, you don't want any of my organs or anything from my insides.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I'm the right guy, too. Like,
nah, I wouldn't want anything from you inside you either. No.
Mine kind of has like a cholesterol-based shell, I think, around many organs, don't you think?
And you donate an organ to somebody, you're going to save their life. They're going to become addicted to barbecue, and they're going to become an alcoholic.
An alcoholic's a stretch, but I am addicted to barbecue.
Yeah, if I save someone's life, like I can imagine, like, the, you know, it'll be like the, it's on the news. So tell us, how's your son doing now 2 years after the surgery? Oh, he's doing great, but it's really strange. He's got a lot of anger issues. He bets on sports, and he never smoked marijuana before, but he smokes weed all day now.
Cone after cone. Yeah. Remember, not a remember, Gabe, beer's not drinking, I'm not an alcoholic.
There's a Stephen King. Yeah, baby, you drink alcohol, too.
More beer. I'm more of a beer man. I do both, but, yeah, I prefer, like, beer.
Look in that cupboard there, actually. We'll play a game live on the air here. It'd be better if there's a video, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at the bottom.
Yeah, I see some stuff down there. Why, is it for me?
They're all full, though.
Oh, okay.
That's the remnants of the Raptor night.
Ooh, pretty good.
You got Grey Goose, Smurf. It's okay not to have a cap on top of this stuff, right? What happens?
No. I tend to disagree.
What happens to vodka if there's no cap?
First of all.
There were no caps
in that day. I got it. I'm just going to tell you.
What do you want me to do, run around by caps?
No, I'm just going to tell you a simple solution. You put some kind of, like, wrap, like a bag or something with an elastic band. So the shit, like, what are you doing? Don't leave that stuff off. Oh, my God.
You're going to drink it anyway.
Of course I will. But don't worry.
What are you complaining about?
In 3 weeks, it'll be even better. Without
it's fermenting.
Without a top on it, I'm going to be like.
Dude,
you know,
it's going to get you make, drunker.
Oh, no. Drunker? I might die. It's moonshine. I'm seeing, like, triple.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm fermenting it under.
Oh, you actually, you're doing like a non-intentional fermentation, and it's a real problem because none of the bottles, I don't know what, you got to worry
crap,
about those.
It smells like booze.
Yeah, I know. It's the fruit flies. Like, gee, you got to put some stuff. Wow. What a cupboard of, that's a cupboard of dangerous treachery.
I didn't even want to drink this stuff. It was lying all over the place, and a chick was coming over that used to drink and doesn't drink. So I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't want to throw it out. I was putting it
out
there.
No, you can't throw it out. But we'll make caps. I'll even put like a water bottle cap on it. Don't worry. You can't let it breathe like that. It's not good for business.
I think it will get you more loaded.
Yeah, it could, but I don't know, like, what kind. It's, I don't want to be one of those things I can't see for 4 days. Like, you know, man, my dad used to make moonshine and stuff.
Soft.
Yeah. Soft. It's dangerous. You go blind. Moonshine. Like, if you don't know what you're doing there, like, it's you're dancing on some dangerous waters, friend. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Moonshine.
Oh, yeah. No, my dad, like, they used to, like, back in the day, that's what you did. You're fermented fruit.
I
you
drank,
made it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, though, like, yeah, no, like, you went temporarily blind. Like, you couldn't see for hours. Like, it's, you got to know what you're doing when you're making that stuff. Just because you leave the caps off doesn't make you a distiller.
I got a chick here on Twitter.
Yeah, what's she saying?
I don't know. I like her, too. She's very, very hot, this girl.
Yeah, why, is she a fan of your work?
Kind of. Fitness and flexibility special.
Follows you? Wow.
Huge sports fan. Dancer.
Huh.
I like how she says, please, no DMs.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't want you sliding in her DM.
Don't be creeping.
She
don't
said,
be creeping on Sarah.
Yeah, I don't know if she's being facetious here or sarcastic, but said, I much would have rather spent the day at home on Twitter reading who the hottest cheerleaders are from Sports Rage.
Nice. I like that.
I don't know if she's being sarcastic or not.
No, I think that's serious. I think she really feels that way.
Yeah, we were doing like CFL. I was on Twitter earlier giving people like CFL rankings.
Hottest cheerleaders, I could tell you right now.
It's the BC Lions.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you
know. It's no, if you watch Canadian football, those orange boots, come on. They're so sexy. The black and orange, they just look so good out there.
The CFL cheerleaders, for the most part, are like sort of 21-year-old girls and stuff.
The Lions are ladies.
They're cute. The Lions are like the one NFL, the one CFL team that they can hang with NFL, like big time, like Ram cheerleaders and stuff.
Yes.
They bring it.
They sure do.
And the Argos have raised their game the last couple of years.
I used to host their cheerleading party down at the local bar. You're right. It's better now.
But they're all blonde and they got the Stepford wife. They look like CNN anchors.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Join that Canada Dry Ginger Ale, Cam.
Sure am. Now, that's a drink.
Like Cam. Cam looks in the fridge and asks me if that's my ginger ale. It's like, no, it's the neighbor's ginger ale. It's the doorman's.
It's mine now. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. I was getting sick of drinking those Diet Cokes that Sonny Vega and
Taylor Stevens
Taylor brought over. Yeah. God bless them. They brought a barrel of chicken, but I can't drink diet.
I haven't drank one of them.
Oh, I plowed them. I plowed them during the show, but I just don't really enjoy them as much as a regular drink. That's refreshing. Thank you.
All right. Do we have Lou from gambling.com? Is Lou here?
Lou.
I'm here, and Cam, welcome back. We were worried about you. Glad everything's okay.
Thanks, Lou. Yeah, I'm surprised. I kind of like a fighter. I didn't get hit. I just bit my tongue. Shouldn't have gone in for that slice so hard. Blood everywhere. Pints.
Holy smokes. Well, I'm glad you're all right, brother.
Like I said, you figure someone that's eating as much as Cab wouldn't injure himself eating pizza, but
I must have really went for it. That's what I'm saying.
I was going to say,
totally miss.
Hungry. That's a hungry Cam right there.
To totally miss Gabe and just do tongue, that's a guy that's like really, really going for
and
it.
Since he swallowed a chunk of his tongue, his new nickname, Lou, is now Cannibal Cam.
Well, it doesn't seem like he's, his enunciation is fine, so no worse for wear.
Yeah. Exactly.
You said the left side of my face is a little bit puffier, that's okay.
Yeah, his cheek looks a little puffier or something. Yeah, his tongue's a little cut up, but he'll be fine.
Yep.
He'll be fine. All right, so, yeah, it's good you're joining us now. We got lost in cyberspace for a couple of minutes there, Lou. We didn't know whether we were on or not, and I started dropping, like, a lot of F-bombs and stuff, and I'm getting messages. All right, you're on, right?
You're on.
I'm like, F this and F that. But, it's good.
Since when has that ever mattered?
Yeah, I know. So you joined us a little earlier this week, so what's the deal? It's a Wednesday baseball day tomorrow, and then later in the week you're on the road traveling?
Yeah, I'm going up to Grand Rapids, Michigan for my mother-in-law's 85th birthday. We're looking forward to it. Going to be fun. I got day baseball tomorrow. And then I get back on Sunday, so I'll really only have to watch one NHL game on the road and the UFC card because I'm in Eastern time. Hell, that card doesn't start till 9 o'clock, so I'll get to watch it. But I don't know how people on the East Coast stay up and watch sporting events. They start so late.
We do, but yeah, it's one of the. And Morenzi stays up and watches Indian cricket at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Here, this guy's nuts.
UFC Utica.
It seems like a good place. Utica UFC. That's Utica's a tough town.
Yeah, it's a tough town. All right. So before we get to the UFC, Lou, Stanley Cup last night, Las Vegas. It just keeps coming up. Black and gold keeps coming up. Las Vegas, man. What a sports story. Of, their success, the game one, the pregame introductions, the little John outside. And I swear to God, man, the Washington Capitals played a good game last night. They were, you know, they had great puck possession, great team speed. They look like a good hockey team. I'm not worried about the Capitals in the big picture, but Vegas, they're not lucky. They're good, but they also, they get every bounce.
They are very, they're good and very lucky.
Yeah, like I brought it up to Cam earlier, like the Capitals, you know, the Capitals will take a shot. It'll bounce off the shin pad of a guy on Vegas, right onto the stick of a waiting Vegas player at center ice. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they just, I know they make their own luck, but man, they get every freaking bounce. And it was the same way against the Kings. They won all four games by one goal. So I don't think the Capitals are in panic mode, but it's hard not to say that, man, Vegas just have things going their way, Lou.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I think both teams would tell you that they didn't like their game and that they have to tighten a lot down. I think Washington, I think out of both teams, you're going to see a much tighter, better, higher quality game from the goal to the defense. Maybe not on offense. I do believe Washington's defense got to play in second-grade soccer a little bit, and they were bunching up around the puck while Vegas maintained discipline and space and created opportunity. I mean, the bottom line is Vegas earned game one. The other bottom line is this is the fourth series that each of these teams have played in, and in the first three, the Capitals lost the first game two times. So they're not in panic mode, but this next game, too, is very, very important.
Lou, I was telling Morenci, when I look at coaches, I look at the adjustments. And Gallant, he plays his third and fourth line when they're hot like a first line. Where other coaches are like, oh, you know, I got to play my high power guys. They're the guys that got me there. And a lot of these stars, they don't get it done in the playoffs. It's the muckers, the third and fourth liners. Hell, Reeves used to be a goon for the St. Louis Blues who could barely crack a lineup. Now he's scoring game-winning goals against Winnipeg, setting them up as well. So let's give this guy a lot of credit. When you talk about guys and adjustments, Gallant's simply the best in the league.
I mean, everything Vegas has done has been stellar. And but I think that, you know, we can't judge. If this game goes seven, we've only seen 15% of the series. So I don't want to put too much weight on a game where I know both teams can play better, and I know both teams will play better. I think there's some – I mean, we just heard that Wilson is not going to get suspended. So he'll be back on the ice for the Caps, which is a huge shot in the arm for them, because if they were to miss him, if he were to be given a game or two for that hit on Marchessault, that would have stung him. I also think that the ice in Vegas, I remember when I went to the Campbell Conference Championships here in Phoenix, it's so hot here in the desert. When you allow 18,000 people to get in and out of a stadium at the beginning of a hockey game, it affects the ice. And I think that could be something that would help Washington more than it will Las Vegas.
Interesting. You know, I can't even remember the Coyotes making it that far. I'm like, wow, Coyotes in there.
It was 2012 against L.A. The year that Jonathan Quick was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Those few and far between now when you look at that franchise. Though, it's tough. You said it, though, Lou. That was like,
yes.
It was embarrassing. Like, the thing is, like, this is another thing. Why don't they start these things earlier? Gary Bettman wants hot weather places. You got Arizona. You got Vegas now. We're going to be in June. You know, this is nuts. Like, these games, and think about it. It's 100 and, like, over. I've been to Vegas when it was 119 degrees. Like, this is nuts. I don't care if you have the best ice man in the world there. You got out the extinguishers and stuff. Like, soon it's going to become, like, kind of a liability for players. You can't skate in butter.
They have better cooling systems now than they used to.
They do, Gabe, but you saw the ice was hacked last night. It was hacked.
The ice was soupy, especially in the – I just watched the third quarter a second time an hour ago. I was really focusing in. And there's nothing you can do when it's that hot. And the other thing besides being late is – and we kind of talked about this – is the setup of the schedule. I mean, slow, sloopy ice does not help the precision passing fast team. Nor does spreading these games out, a couple of games every other day, then a couple of games every 2 days. They're stretching this thing out over 2 weeks, and I don't think that does good for continuity's sake. And again, I'm not willing to give up on my position with Washington, but I can tell you when we know that the winners of Game 1 in the Stanley Cup Series are 78.2%, I can tell you that Washington cannot afford to lose Game 2.
We've seen Washington, though, face adversity throughout the entire postseason. They lost the first two games on their home ice in overtime to Columbus. They come back, win the series. They were trailing to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They come back.
Win the last couple games.
Yeah, win three straight games. Tampa Bay Lightning. Look, man, they win the first two games in Tampa, manage to lose the next three.
Then win two.
And you figure, oh, man, they're done now. And then, you know, they dug down deep again. So I don't think it's the end of the world if they lose tomorrow. But, you know, it's obviously a monster game. For the record right now, the new series price is Las Vegas minus 235.
Washington plus 195.
Yeah.
Click, click,
and,
click.
And, guys, that's offshore. You're eating offshore numbers. If you go to the South Point, it's 260 on the negative plus 220. We talked about it this morning. And, again, that's just unbelievable value for people that happen to live in Nevada and are under the perfect storm of getting that extra kind of value. I definitely just released a series play on Washington. That's why I didn't bet two units on them at the beginning, only one, because I knew if they lost game one, I was going to come right back. So now, instead of the Capitals with one unit at plus 130, I have two units on them at plus 165. So the value is there. Now the Washington Capitals need to tighten their skates and get ready and go out and play some good hockey these next two games. If Washington wins one of the next two and the series is 2-1, we have ourselves a series.
To go six is plus 200. So it doesn't matter who wins the series.
It should go plus. That's a good bet. That's a really good bet because Vegas wins the first game, Gabe, and I believe in Washington. So it should go six.
To go seven plus 180. It's going to be a six or seven game
series. Yes, it will be. So you make both of those bets.
It's going to be a long series. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven games.
And just to disclose that I'm no savant. I bet that the series would be under 5.5 games plus 185. So I got work to do if I'm going to hit that. Now, that's just a little bit of a milk money bet because I really thought this thing was going to be quick. And if Washington wins this next game, I have hope. And if they don't, then, you know, who knows what happens.
Did you see the pregame intro? With Michael Buffer?
I get my wife to watch that. I've told everybody, I do some local radio here in Phoenix, and I'm telling everybody, just get your wife to go watch this thing because, you know, a blue man, I won't use Mystere, a blue man group show starts out, and the next thing you know, there's a hockey game because it's a full, complete, over-the-top production.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
It's awesome. Them shooting that, the night's awesome. Everything about it's perfect. Yeah, you get a show and a hockey game. Two for one. Beautiful.
I like when Michael Buffer comes out. And Buffer, like, announces, like, the record of the Capitals. Yeah. In the blue corner, Washington Capitals, 61-35.
I just love that's, it's a nice Vegas touch. I love how Vegas has added its personality and its culture to the NHL. And really what these Golden Knights have done, not only for the people in Vegas, but for the NHL as well for hockey betting, is really hard to quantify.
No, I think they've raised the bar.
For every other city.
Yeah,
they have
to. Teams looking at this intro, teams looking at the party outside with Little John. Yep. You know, basically – you know, like Canada thinks they own hockey. And
yeah, and know what
their
they do?
Idea of a party is, we'll put the game on outside the arena and charge people $18 a beer outside even and make it like it's inside and take it over.
And people do it.
And they don't have a big artist. They, you know, they throw out a couple of T-shirts and stuff. But they don't, you know, they don't go all in like this. Listen, Las Vegas has to compete with a lot of other entertainment options 24 hours a day in that city. But you're right, Lou. They've really raised the bar as a whole. Now, for the record, a lot of people are upset, or a lot of general managers are, with all the Vegas love because of the, you talked about it, Cam, what they felt was the unfair expansion process.
Yep.
Bettman announced that it'll be the same process for Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, so it'll be the same format. So now it'll be, it's funny. So now Vegas' players get plucked.
Everybody voted on it. They knew what it was going in. Anybody crapping about it now is sourpussing. Let me tell you
right.
something. Here's what happened.
They got this there rightfully, but you can't tell me, Lou. The thing is, if you're an Ottawa Senator fan, you're another one of the suspension fans, and your fan base is like, well, why did it take us 10 years to get there? Because when the Ottawa Senators came in, teams were allowed to protect 18 players on each team. You basically got the reject.
Gamblers,
but I'm not saying it's unfair now. It's not unfair now in this system, but Vegas had it easier than any other expansion team in NHL history, Lou, by far.
Only in that the goal of the NHL, Vegas, who spent, what, $800 million for the squad, the best interest of everybody is not to have a piece of shit suck team. The best interest of the league in Vegas was to have a team that did not suck, and that's the only taint the rules were designed for. So I will not begin to even let anybody take anything away from Foley, McPhee, and Gallant. They built this on their own. I'm passionate about that.
We love you, Lou. No. The thing is, though, because of Vegas' success, isn't the salary cap going up, too? So they're going to put more money in everyone's pockets. Lou, win-win.
I'll tell you, so Seattle gets the same rule. But I promise you, when Quebec comes in the league in a couple of years.
No, they won't get anything.
No, it'll go back to, we decided to go back to the old format.
Yeah, have some poutine, and you can have this loser.
I'd rather follow Bill Belichick at New England than be Seattle coming into the league.
Well, they're coming.
they're coming.
That's going to be a hard act to follow.
Vegas? Yeah. No, it's impossible. That's what's Seattle going to do? Like, you can't follow it, Lou.
For the record, Seattle have already opened up. There's already odds. 200-1 to win the cup.
They're not I'll take the everybody back.
That's what people said. That's what people said.
I said about Vegas. I know.
That's what
I know.
People in Seattle are going to expect this now too.
Oh, that's another
thing.
It's like
a quarterback, right? Like
you're right.
Like Russell Wilson goes to the Super Bowl as a rookie quarterback.
They're going every year.
Like, how come Mitch Trubisky didn't take the Bears to the Super Bowl? How come? What's going on here? Right? He's a bust. Lou's fired up about the Vegas Golden Knights.
He sure is.
You Golden Knights fan, Lou?
It's a great story, and I love hockey. You know how passionate I am about it. Now, I just so happen to be on Washington, but it doesn't mean that I can't appreciate all that Vegas has done for this sport that I love.
No, they've raised the bar.
I love USC, so yeah, they have. It's great, and people are there's new fans. It's outstanding, and I've been in the way of it because I love hockey and I love to speak about it. So
you know what?
Believe for everybody.
Vegas has put these franchises like Montreal and Toronto and, you know what, on watch. Do better at your intermission.
Right.
You can't just serve up a beer for $20 to some guy and have a bunch, like a kid rolling. No, it doesn't work, man. Vegas is, you said, hey, teams, don't be lazy and just go, oh, hockey's going to sell itself. They got to do what Vegas did, Morenci, and then things will get good. Then the popularity of the sport will actually go up. It just won't be regional.
Figure you like this, Cam.
Yep. What's this one?
Marc-Andre Fleury, life-size Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, made of chocolate?
And Rice Krispies.
Oh, delicious. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
The pads are Rice Krispies.
Oh, the pads are Rice Krispies and the rest is chocolate.
It's at the Bellagio. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful.
See, that's another reason. Like, you don't have that.
No. Who's making players out of food here? Nobody. Bunch of losers.
Our boy Hainzer's tuning in.
I love you guys.
Morenci unintentionally making moonshine. Gold.
Gold. Moonshine. Great vodka, Hainzer.
You're invited, Hainzer. Argos.
Come on down, Hainzer. Party
June
time.
June 23rd.
Psst. Hey, you. Over here. You want to win a DFS? And you want it for just $1? I got Daily Roto here. Now, why do you want it? Two of the guys behind it have won $1 million. It's not just about the writers. Not one, not two, but three subscribers have won $1 million too. That's five millionaires. Five, count them. And it's not counting the $100,000 winners too. They talk about it in the Slack channel. But why is it a dollar right now? Special price for the month of May. Yeah, if you don't like it, then walk away. If you love it and you're winning, keep going. Do I use it? How do you think I afford my massive tracksuit collection? Come on, look at the glitter on this. It's beautiful. You can sort your stats, add your own weights, read articles, distinguish between slates on FanDuel and DraftKings. You gotta go to DailyRoto.com and enter code $1. I may just be a creepy guy in a random alley inside your head, but I know what I'm talking about. That's DailyRoto.com, code $1. That's it, $1, 1 month, and start winning.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, sitting alongside Cam Stewart. Cannibal Cam Stewart.
Yeah.
If you play DFS and haven't tried playing MyBookie.ag player props, then you're missing out. Their player props tool allows you to avoid sharks, winning 90% of the money in DFS. Invest in the players that you want without salary cap. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Go to MyBookie.ag, open up a new account, enter the promo code GTD. You want to support the show, support the network, support the sponsors. You receive a 50% sign-up bonus off of a player. Let's say, Josh Donaldson, for instance. Might be chalk in DFS and be owning 80% of tournaments because everyone thinks the play is obvious. Don't be a loser and eat DFS chalk. Be a winner. Play mybookie.ag, the player prop. Plus, you can access horse racing. Go to mybookie.ag, open up an account, enter promo code GTD, and receive 50% deposit bonus. Check out the player props tool. That's mybookie.ag, enter promo code GTD.
Yeah, I got a little money in my pocket with that Washington over last night. Wrong team, right side.
We're kicking it with Lou from Gamblu.com. You can follow Lou on Twitter, at Gamblu, and as you can as you can tell, Lou's very passionate about the Las Vegas Golden Knights not getting a free pass. not getting a free pass with the expansion rules. When does Seattle come to the league anyways? It's not this year.
No, it's not this year. 2 years, yeah.
Not this year, the year after, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, though, even with the process that Seattle will get, Vegas just was, like, the players they got, though, like Carlson and Marchessault, like, Seattle, there's no way. There's no way that they could.
What was the name of their team again? It was lame. Remember?
No, we wanted. We had a good. Remember we did the poll. What are they?
They used to have a team. They used to have a minor league hockey team.
Yeah, the Seattle Thunderbirds. They used to be in the Western Hockey League, and then the first Seattle team that won the first Stanley Cup actually were called the Seattle Metropolitans.
They had a really dumb name.
I was like, not Rainiers.
I mean, they don't have it named yet, according to this article I'm trying to read today. It says the possibilities ranked from Cougars to Kraken. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Kraken, Cougar, the octopus.
The whales, the Cougars, the Evergreens. Let's see what the number one thing they said is Seattle Kraken. That's crazy. The Emeralds, the Totems. The totems.
Yeah,
we like the totems.
Like totems and emeralds, like the Emerald City. Yeah, I like totems.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of totem poles.
I like totems too. Yeah, I like totems. The Rainiers, the Firebirds, the Sea Lions. I think
the Firebirds.
The totems makes the most sense. And you should see this jersey. It's cooler than hell. It's just totally cool.
All right. So Bettman was asked about Seattle. Asked about whether NHL teams have regrets about giving the Golden Knights a more favorable expansion draft format than previous expansion teams. Bettman said, no pushback whatsoever. I think people are excited about Vegas. Yeah, he's full of it. They're not excited.
No, he's not. Everybody's making money off of this. This is such a hugely good thing for hockey. TV ratings. You don't think this is going to help them? They traditionally had no TV exposure. This is going to help them in every single way.
No, it does help the league.
Yeah, just some of their teams.
But it helps, yeah, some teams more than others. Bettman said one of the reasons the Golden Knights received a favorable expansion draft format. See, they're not hiding it. I mean,
because of how much money they spent.
More favorable expansion. Because he'll do anything for hockey in the freaking desert, including, sorry, Lou, to save your Coyotes there. You know what I mean? Like the other guy,
save my Coyotes.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. They're doomed.
Like he eagerly buries other franchises, but anytime it's in the Western U.S., man, he bends over backwards. said one of the reasons why the Golden Knights received a favorable expansion draft format is they were the first expansion team in a salary cap era. So the salary cap is designed to keep teams competitive, and that changed the expansion draft format from past years. Says the midget that runs the NHL. All right, let's get to the UFC. UFC Utica. Hardly a glamorous card, Loop. Doesn't mean it won't be entertaining. So I'm not crapping on the fights and stuff, but.
Bilal Muhammad, who's on the card, he comes out and says, hey, you know what? I just want him, let him send me to New Zealand. There's nothing to do here. I don't want to be here.
We're in Utica?
In Utica. He said there's absolutely nothing to do there for them.
Send me to New Zealand.
Oh, he's out,
that's
travel,
a long flight.
I'll do whatever it takes. No, that's what he's saying. He'd rather do that than be there. Not only that, next week, Muhammad's from Chicago, and next week's card's from Chicago. So, you know, figure that one.
That's stupid. There's a lot of controversy in that last card there, Lou, before we get into the fights and whatever. What the hell's going on here? Some good bets, and I'm looking at these fights going, we got jobs.
So, Lou, what's your take? You were fired up earlier. What's your take on the Wonder Boy Till decision? Unanimous decision at that.
It was a decision that I feel strongly that I disagree with. One look at all the beat writers and the press that are responsible for reporting this sport, they all felt the same way. I work hard at this, and could Stevie Boy have been a little bit more aggressive? Yes, but Till did not win the fight. He did win the decision, and fortunately for all of us, there's a fight this Friday. So I don't spend too much time over sour grapes, but that was really bad. That was a bad decision and one that I don't agree with.
Lou, you and Gabe know a hell of a lot more about the UFC, the fight game than me. But I'll tell you something, just from a guy that, you know what I mean, we've dealt with horse racing and stuff. It seems recently to me there's been way more controversial decisions on these cards. You don't want UFC to start turning into this, wishy-washy thing. I know you're going to defend it, Lou, but we can't keep and have decisions that are so blatantly wrong. That's not good for the sport, man, and for the bettors.
I'm never going to defend anything that starts to begin to look like, feel like, smell like boxing. I won't put up with it. I won't go through it again. And I don't, listen, what we're talking about is home cooking, okay? And so you got a bunch of British refs watching a British guy fight with a bunch of Brits around him.
That's exactly it.
What we need to do is we need to further heighten the integrity of the judging process. And unfortunately for the UFC, most places they go, they have to deal with fight councils or state fight boxing commissions, and they're antiquated, they're still umbilical to boxing, and their referee, the refs that watch and judge fights can't find their rear ends with two hands and an Indian guy. And so UFC really needs to heighten their judging criteria, in my opinion.
And the thing
yeah, no, but you guys, talked about like the honor in Brazil. There's no honor in Britain.
That's what I was going to say.
Those guys will bet on anybody from their country.
You figure the Brazilians would screw you over there, but they don't. No. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Yeah, the judges in Brazil will call it openly. We see the dudes in Britain.
Bet on the Brits.
No honor. These guys, no shame, Lou, whatsoever. And the crazy thing is, even if Wonder Boy would have won the last round, Lou, we still would have lost. Like one of the judges had Wonderboy losing every round. The other judge had him losing all four of the five rounds. And the other judge had him losing three of the five. Like, we were screwed. Like, no matter what Wonderboy did, really, he wasn't going to win, essentially, as the scorecard proved, you know?
And so that's such a great point, Gabriel, because lesson for me, a couple of things. Unless it's really compelling, I'm not jumping at a value price until I see weigh-ins anymore. Because basically, Till just cheated, okay?
That's another thing, too. Till, they're now fighters that miss weight to 13-2, last 15.
It's just a terrible situation. And so I'm going to slow myself down from taking great prices when I see them and try and do everything I can do to wait until that the day before I watch the weigh-in stream and then the rehydration weigh-in. Because it's just, I've been the victim of a couple of these that I had good fighters, but I got cheated against. And okay, it's happened a couple times, no problem, but I got to correct the problem, and I will.
All right, so let's get into the main event and the card this week, if anything catches your eye. It's earlier in the week, Lou, so it is tough right now. Jimmy Rivera and Marlon Moraes is the main event here. Jimmy Rivera minus 120. You've got Gillespie and Vince Pichel on the card. Walt Harris versus Daniel Spitz. Jake Ellenberger versus Ben Saunders. And the loser must
Leave town match?
Must live in a retirement home match.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, losers, like, forced, like, just stop, guys.
Yeah, it's
like,
over.
You know what I mean? Teamer. Oh, we got a heavyweight fight. Hey, Teamer here. What do you make of the card? Gian Vellante and Alvi. That'll be a fun fight, actually. Alvi and Vellante. They're both going to stand in the middle. It'll be like Rock and Sock'em, Cam, those two.
I like that.
Gian Vellante's a wrestler, a Hofstra guy, who doesn't wrestle.
Pride. He likes to box.
Yeah, he doesn't wrestle. I think he played football, actually, at Hofstra.
Like Wayne Corbett.
He's buddies. Yeah, exactly. He's buddies. Wayne Corbett's actually a friend of the network.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a Hofstra guy, and he's buddies with Chris Weidman and stuff. But he's a tough kid. He's, you know, a big Italian kid. He stands and bangs. But Sam Alvi likes to stand and bang. That should be a fun. I sort of ripped the card on Twitter earlier. I wasn't saying it was crap.
You're talking about the name value?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know. But it is Utica, New York, so what do you expect? Yeah. What do you make of the card, Lou? Who do you like?
Well, you know, it may not be the highest quality name recognition card. And, you know, it's funny because we're coming off a card where finally there were more underdogs that won than favorites. The favorites went 5 and 6, so a lot of dogs
came
fixed. In this.
Yeah, because it was fixed.
I got to tell you something, Lou. I don't bet usually hard, but everyone was convinced. I got smoked on this last card. Like, I just set up an account, too, with, like, our friends at MyBookieAG. I'm building it up, and that UFC card, I'm like, God, there's no way. I had Knight. I'm such a loser, man.
Dude, I don't know. Knight was a tough loss, too. It was just, yeah.
One I won was Stewart because he's got my same last name. I went, like, $20 on it. Nice knockout.
Actually,
the analysis, Cam wins on the last name.
And he's black.
We managed to win money on that one, but despite Thompson's loss at minus 120, because I had Robertson, as I watched the weigh-in, Meatball McCann couldn't make weight because you've been eating too many meatballs. And then we took another half on someone. And then here's a critical one. My computer went down right as I pushed the button to release Darren Stewart against Spicely. And here I am watching the fight, and I'm winning, and then I realize that my computer was down and the bet didn't go out, at least to the public. I got my bet in, so I couldn't count that one, which was disappointing. But that's all behind us. Looking forward, this main event, Morris and Rivera, I mean, this main event could be on a pay-per-view. These two guys are going to put on an unbelievable show. What I worry about is that Marlon Moraes is so fast, powerful, and apt on his feet. He's easily as good a striker as Rivera, I think, maybe a little more power. That I think that if this thing goes too long on the feet and is tied, Jimmy Rivera going to make it a little bit ugly by taking him down. Now, you know, Moraes is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, to go with some of the Muay Thai striking he has. But the wrestler in Rivera, I think, is what makes him the fighter that should be the favorite. Now, he opened minus 190, and a flood of money has come in on the Brazilian. Let's not forget, Jimmy Rivera is a regional New York fighter, and he's going to be fighting in front of his home peak. He opens 190, now he's minus 115, 120. I think it's a real good spot for Jimmy Rivera.
You sold me on this. I like where you're going with it. A lot of good points. Lou, you can follow him on Twitter, @GamBlue. We got a couple of minutes left only here. We appreciate Lou's time before he takes in an Arizona Diamondback game and then hits Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Lou's busy.
What do you think of that Gian Vellante-Sam Alvi fight? Lou, Sam Alvi's a minus 135 favorite.
Yeah, I love the fact that Vellante's at home. He's going to give his best, but Alvey's going to be he's the more polished fighter. And you're right, Vellante's a linebacker, and when he gets hit, he reacts by moving forward, tilting his forehead down, and driving ahead. He's tough. He's got fortitude, but he doesn't have fight IQ, and he's going to walk into something from Alvey.
Tebow's a huge dog.
Tebow and Desmond Green.
Yeah, that I can't.
Not getting any younger.
No, he's not. That's the thing. There's a couple guys in the car that are long in the tooth, but plus 2-4. Is there any what about Muhammad? You talked about him talking about New Zealand, Lou. Is there maybe the opponent there plus 320? Is it worth a look if this guy's saying screw this card? Maybe he's got his head somewhere else. You never know. It
take
is a fight.
Take a chance on chance.
No, I don't think I won't look at Fade Muhammad here simply because I do like him. And he can be chinny, and he's fighting a big, long guy that's going to have 4 inches of reach. But I don't know nothing about this ship in from Oklahoma, so I got to watch this one. But I will tell you that this fight between Tamer and Julio Arce, Daniel Tamer's young. He's talented, but he's coming in from Sweden, and this Arce is a very, very skilled fighter that is a Jersey fighter, and he's been on the regional scene. Not a lot of people know about him. He's a lefty. I'm going to take a good, long, hard look at this Julio Arce. He opened 230. He's now about 175, 165. Hopefully Daniel Tamer gets more action, and if this kid drops any further, he'll come into the strike zone for me. Simply because of his well-rounded game and the fact that he's going to have a lot of people there.
There's two Tamers on the card. David and Daniel.
And David Tamer, who's fighting Nick Lentz, that's a mismatch fight there. Poor Nicky Lentz. I don't know what he did to warrant this, but the other Tamer, he's the 155-er. He's going to paint Nick Lentz. He's going to paint that fence.
Lou,
thanks, Lou.
You're on fire today.
Love you, Lou.
Gamblu, DFS next.